Hello and welcome to Two Peas in a Pod, the podcast that nobody asked for, but we're doing it anyway. I'm Alex.
And I'm Madison. And in this podcast, we talk about trending topics and give you answers to the questions that you're too scared to ask.
So hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Two Peas in a Pod.
Today, we are going to be talking to you about some more interesting kind of topics, but we're going to keep it very legal. We're not going to venture on into anything illegal at all.
You know that here at Two Peas in a Pod, we're all about exposing ourselves and sharing some of our wildest experiences with you guys. But we'd also like to get employed by future employers in the future. So we're not going to illegally expose ourselves today. But nonetheless,
I would rather my mom not kick me out of the house, which would be great. So yeah, for that, we're just going to keep it a little bit more PG to the best that we can while still telling you the best kinds of stories we can about this topic.
But that being said, so this week we are going to be talking about all things partying. So university partying, we're going to be talking about fraternities and sororities and partying at Ryerson versus partying at other schools. We're going to be talking about our first and recent drunk experiences and everything in between.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure we all remember the first time we had a drink. And I'm not talking about a sip of your uncle's beer under the table at Christmas, or sneaking some wine with your cousins at Thanksgiving. No, I'm talking about the first time we actually sat down and had a drink. Now, I could tell you that I was in grade 8, so because
ooh, of my, a baddie in grade 8!
Because of my late birthday, I was definitely, how old would I have been in grade 8? Like 13?
12 or 13, 12. Yeah.
And I remember being at my best friend's house at the time with two of my other close friends, and her parents were gone, obviously, so we decided we would check out the liquor cabinet, and we found a lot of things. We found some V8 in the fridge. We found some vodka.
Like the vegetable juice? Yeah. No, bro.
We found some vodka. We found some lemon juice. We found some ginger or something. I'm pretty sure there was some tequila in there, too. Anyways, we made these next drinks. Like, I still remember posting an Instagram picture with that dumbass sepia filter on the Instagram picture, captioning it shakalaka juice, because we didn't know what the fuck it was, so we called it shakalaka juice, and I literally got wasted. And I remember being on her bedroom floor just laughing. Like, I didn't black out, I didn't, like, you know, throw up or anything, but it was just fucked up because I was like 12 years old. And her parents, I mean, I don't know if they had any idea of what was going on, but if they did, they never said anything. And I mean, it's only been downhill from there.
I mean, my first drinking experience wasn't anywhere near drinking fucking V8, but mine was pretty similar. I think I was either at my house or I was at my best friend's house, and I think I was in grade 9, maybe grade 10. It was pretty early on in high school, and I remember my friend at the time, she had gotten a Mickey of vodka from, I think, her older brother. It was like a leftover Mickey he didn't drink, so it was like half a thing of vodka. Like, it was a really small amount. And she was like, oh, we should, like, have a drink and, you know, try drinking or whatever. Because I don't think either of us had really had a real drink other than, you know, like, champagne at New Year's or, like, sneaking your dad's beer or, like, whatever. That type of bullshit. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, sure, whatever. I'm down. Fuck it. So the only thing we had to mix it with was fucking that strawberry Fruitopia shit. And, like, to this day, I can't drink Fruitopia anymore because it's just, like, such a bad taste in my mouth now that it just kind of triggers me. But, yeah, so we had, like, maybe a shot each in a cup of, like, and the rest of it was Fruitopia, and it was really bad. But I mean, we did get pretty drunk, and then yeah, we started posting on, like, Instagram and, like, Facebook and shit, all drunk and responding to people's stories and comments and stuff on Facebook and just being stupid. But I mean, yeah, I think that was my first actual drinking experience. I mean, unlike you, I wasn't fucking 12 years old drinking V8 and vodka in someone's fucking house. But it was vodka and Fruitopia, and so now to this day, vodka's still my go-to, but I don't think I can mix it with Fruitopia anymore. I mean, I tend to avoid sweeter stuff in general anyway, because I find the hangovers worse the sweeter the drink, so.
No, you and I are the same like that. Like, we both go for, like, the Socialites and the White Claws. Shout out White Claws. But, I mean, I just, like, thinking of now and then and, like, my drink habits changing and everything. Like, I remember when, I don't know if it's just me and, like, my specific grade, but growing up, Smirnoff Ice was, like, the way to go. Like, I remember my first party at my friend Riley's house, and we, at this point, we didn't really know the concept of BYOB, like, mm-hmm. bring your own beer or bring your own booze or whatever. So we were buying, or Riley was trying to buy alcohol. She had an older sister with older friends and whatever. And a lot of us were able to either go underage and get alcohol, or we had older siblings who could do it for us. But we were trying to get a shit ton of alcohol to supply for this party of like 50 people. And then I remember when everyone came, like everyone ended up being able to have like one drink and it was gone. And that was like $70. So we all pooled our money together, whatever change we'd had for the pizza that we were supposed to order that night, to buy these two cases of Smirnoff Ice. And everyone got like one bottle if they were lucky. And it was just the most fucked thing ever.
That sounds like a terrible fucking party, bro. But no, actually, I think I, like, throughout high school, I think the Smirnoff Ice was my go-to,
It was, like,
too.
A phase, was it not? And like, the flavors.
So I didn't start really, actually, because I like to drink beer now, but, like, because it's just so, like, high in calorie and shit. Always, I'm for the boys, always. But, yeah, no, like, beer would be my go-to if I'm, like, out at, like, a restaurant or, like, a pub or something, because I prefer it on draft, but, like...
You and I and our Boston pizza draft.
Of course, but, like, I don't really like beer if it's in a can or a bottle. Like, I'll drink it, but I, like, if it's a pint in front of me from a draft in, like, a bar, then, like, I'll down that in 2 seconds. But if it's a fucking, like, can or something, it'll take me 2 hours and I'll nurse it, because I find that it tastes different, but that's just me. But anyway, I didn't actually start drinking beer specifically till I was maybe, like, 19 or 20 or whatever, but... I think that my first, like, really go-to when I was, like, out at a restaurant and, like, sneaking into a drink, or, like, someone would order me a drink. They'd order the drink for themselves, but then give it to me. And, like, I'd sip it when the waitress wasn't looking or whatever. So I think my go-to was, like, a Smirnoff Ice. But I remember one time my mom and my aunt, we went to New York on this, on just, like, a vacation for, like, a long weekend or something. And my aunt and my mom wanted to drink, and I was only, like, 16 or something, and obviously the drinking age in the U.S. is 21, so, like, I was nowhere fucking near the drinking age.
Not even close.
But I remember we went to this really, like, it wasn't our, well, we were staying in a really nice hotel, but we went to, like, this, like, really, like, kind of bougie and, like, nightlife-y type of hotel where there's, like, a lot of, like, young worker people and, like, you know, happy hour and stuff. And so my aunt and my mom sit down in the restaurant in this hotel. It's like a restaurant bar type of place. Like, there's lights going. It's like club music's blaring. And like, I'm like, what are we doing here, bro? Like, I'm 16, but okay. So we sit down. My mom orders a glass of wine. My aunt orders whatever. And she's like, my aunt was like, so what do you want to drink? And I was like, I don't know if I can drink here. Like, bro, I'm nowhere. I don't even look 21, let alone 19, right? Like, I was 16. She's like, oh, I'll order you a drink and you just sip it when they're not looking. And I was like, I don't know. She's like, well, what do you like to drink? I was like, I don't know. Like, usually vodka. So my aunt orders me a triple vodka on the rocks.
And you're sipping and this 16. Vodka in a New York.
Literally. And I felt like so bougie. I was like, oh, like Sex in the City, like Carrie Bradshaw, like sipping a fucking triple vodka on the rocks in New York City. Like, I felt so bougie.
Were you
having
a midlife crisis at the age of 16? Like, I mean,
I think I've been having a midlife crisis for the past 10 years. God, that's the point. Take a shot every time Alex mentions her mental illness.
And but, her depression.
But yeah, I was like, a fucking triple vodka on the rocks. I was like, bro, like when I meant vodka, I meant like in a Smirnoff Ice or like a vodka cran at the most. Like
a soda.
Like I didn't even like really drink mixed drinks or anything. It was mostly just like, you know, a fucking like Smirnoff Ice or like, I don't know, like a Black Fly or like bullshit little cooler like that had vodka in them. When I said I drink vodka, I didn't mean straight that. Like a fucking midlife crisis, depressed ass 50-year-old woman. But yeah, so that was like my first club experience, I guess, because it pretty much was a club. Like there was all like young people there dancing and partying and shit, and we just kind of grabbed like a table, and there's also like a restaurant next to it, so I was drinking this fucking triple vodka, and then my aunt, I didn't finish it, and my aunt was like, why didn't you finish your vodka? And I'm like, bro, I'm fucking 16, I don't just down a fucking three thing of vodka. Like, it was whack.
No, that's a fucked up story, honestly. Like, you never told me that story, and now I'm just kinda...
I just thought of it now, and I'm like, fuck, that's wild. And then we go to the mini bar in the fucking hotel, and my aunt would be like, do you want vodka? And I'm like, and not to say that my aunt like pressures me to drink, but she just like wanted me to feel comfortable and like, you know, like, oh, like I'm fine with you drinking, like as long as you're with us and you're drinking responsibly, then it's fine, you know what I mean? Like, my family was always like that, where it was like, you know, like, we'll let you have a drink, or like, let you have like, you know, have a beer, like have like a you know,
as long as you're being safe about it,
right? And they'd rather that I did it like with them knowing and being safe than going behind their back and like something bad happening. They've always been like that, so they've always been pretty open with me drinking responsibly and, you know, having a drink here or there. Especially when I was underage and like I wasn't able to get my own alcohol. Like, if I went to a party, my dad would be like, yeah, like you can have some of my vodka, but like, A, don't share with other people because it's my fucking vodka, and B, like, just be safe and like let me know when you're home and whatever, right? So they were always super cool about it, but at the same time, like, they were also super like fine with me drinking in a fucking New York club when I was only 16, so that was kind of whack.
Yeah, no, my parents definitely, too, were the same, where they were kind of like, okay, like, we'll buy you your alcohol, or, like, I guess I probably didn't really need to hide all those liquor bottles at the back of my closet all my life, but I know they were fine with it. It was just kind of the mentality I had, because everyone was kind of hiding their alcohol, and no one's parents were really, like, down for the 16-year-olds to party and whatnot.
Or the classic, when you'd steal some of their vodka, and then you'd replace it with water. Yeah.
I swear they, like, I did that once with my friend, Alyssa, and... like, my parents were out. God knows where they were. Like, my parents are never home, and you know this.
Yeah.
And Alyssa and I were getting drunk, and we saw the bottle of Finlandia and the vodka.
The fuck is Finlandia?
Finlandia vodka in the cupboard is what I meant to say.
Gotcha.
And we just drank it, but then we drank a lot. So we were kind of like, fuck, we gotta fill it with water. And I'm pretty sure they still drank it. Like, I'm pretty sure that bottle was sitting in our cupboard until Christmas Eve last year, and I'm pretty sure we used it in the martinis that they made. Like, I guarantee you, like, they had no idea. And I don't want to say that they, like, are dumb and they don't... My parents are very, very smart people, but I genuinely feel like with this one specific thing, they had absolutely no idea that it was filled with water because they never put it in the fridge. So how are they going to know? It's just going to taste kind of watered down, but they mix it in with drinks anyway. It's not really... They're just going to keep adding more, you know?
See, I'm shit out of luck because to this day, like, pretty much my entire life, my dad keeps his vodka in the freezer, which I do that too. I like my vodka to be cold, or like any, like...
goes down easier.
And any, like, hard liquor that, like, doesn't freeze, you know? Like, you can't put, like, a fucking White Claw or a beer in the freezer because it'll explode and, like, whatever. But, like, actual, like, straight liquor, you can. So I prefer it to be cold, right? So if my dad kept his vodka in the freezer and I stole some and then I put water in it, the water would freeze but the vodka wouldn't, so I couldn't get away with it. And like, even if I did, I'd like slowly replace it with a little bit of water for every shot that I took or something. And then eventually he'd be like, oh, like, do you want to take this vodka to go to your party? And I'm like, bro, that's 98% water. Like, I'm shit out of luck now, because I can't be like, oh no, I don't want your vodka, because he'd be like, hey, you're sus, like, why don't you want my vodka?
Did that on purpose.
He probably did. He probably fucking knew. But like, I was like, fuck, I can't even put water in it anymore because he keeps it in the freezer, so it would fucking freeze, and vodka doesn't freeze at that temperature. So like, I was shit out of luck.
Well, I knew friends who, like, they would come to parties. Like, Lauren would always have these amazing pre's and parties and Gettys and whatever. And our one friend, Anna, would literally come with, like a jar. Once she came, the first time we went out to a club, I was using a fake ID. And it was an Ontario ID, obviously, because I don't fuck with that BC, like, bullshit ID.
That's the number one way to get caught, bros. If you're using, like, a fucking, like, Nunavut ID or something, it's like, bro, come on.
Yeah, no. But we were definitely going to Greasy Gracie. Shout out Grace O'Malley's on the corner of Pearl and Duncan.
We love her.
But
I've lost two licenses there, so if you have my driver's license from Greasy Gracie,
bring it back.
You're
my
welcome.
DMs are open.
My DMs are open. Send it my way.
No,
but anyway.
But like, Anna literally brought over gin in a jar because, like, they're your
like
older
a mason jar?
Yeah, she brought gin in a jar because she would go downstairs and get whatever alcohol from her parents she could, but it would be like a little bit of gin one day, a little bit of wine one day, a little bit of, like, Tanqueray, like, one
so
day.
So it'd be like the cup from King's Cup and just be like
it's
a concoction
so
of everything.
Random.
Oh, God.
And so we went out. I was wearing a dress. Lauren was wearing a skirt, as she does. Like, we're going to Greasy Gracie's. And if you know Greasy Gracie's now, it isn't anything like what it was back then. Like, now it's filled with underage kids, but back then it was more low-key, honestly. But this is when I was in grade 12, or 11, maybe, honestly. And we're all going there. And I had my bottle of Raspberry Absolute, which is what I would get one of my counselors from camp to pick up for me every time she would go to the LCBO. And she wouldn't even have to call me to ask what I wanted. She would know it's Raspberry Absolute. And to this day, if you give me a shot of Raspberry Absolute, it's either getting chucked over my shoulder or I'm throwing
Bro,
it back up.
That shit's disgusting.
That is fucking nasty.
I mean, Absolute in general is, like, probably the worst tier of vodka. Like, I'd rather have Tito's than I would Absolute. But, like, flavor...
Tito's isn't bad.
But flavored Absolute, it's like drinking battery acid. Like, I can't fucking do it. It's literally disgusting. Like, someone that I won't name came over to my apartment once, and we're not even friends, but she wanted to hang out and she wanted to come over to my apartment to drink.
Stop. I was gonna ask you who it was, but now I know.
And she brought over a fucking bottle of, you guessed
it, about, right?
We were just talking about her before we started recording. Okay. And she brought over a bottle of Raspberry Absolute, ironically. And she maybe had one shot of it, and then we went to the club and I ditched her to hang out with a friend that I liked better. Because he wanted me to come over to his apartment and drink, and I was like, I have an excuse to get out of this.
She's not good
gotta
at
go.
Making plans, clearly.
Gotta go. So anyway, she left her fucking Raspberry Absolute in my fridge, and like, it literally took me a year and a half to get rid of it because no one would drink it.
It's nasty.
No,
it is
so
absolutely
bad.
Disgusting. And I think it's one of, like, I think we all just kind of There are two types of people. The people who snuck Mickeys into their, Smirnoff Mickeys, might I add, into their back pocket of their jeans at a party.
Always.
Or people who really, really fucked with the flavored stuff because they couldn't handle the, like, strength of the regular stuff. Because flavored stuff's usually, like, 35%, right?
Yeah, exactly. Regular's,
like, 40.
I mean, I don't generally fuck with the flavored, like, vodka or anything in general. Like, I can have, like, a flavored Ciroc here and there, but, like, generally, I just prefer the it regularly.
Kind of killed us.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, a few weeks ago, Madison and I had a few, like, we had a few people over at my apartment, and we killed,
super safe,
like,
I promise. Same social circle, I swear.
We keep to our social bubbles and everything, keep it super safe, and we're super paranoid and anal about that. But anyway, we killed, like, a bottle or two bottles of fucking Pink
maybe
Whitney.
Three. I don't really
And
remember.
I kid you not, for, like, 3 weeks, I thought I had a cavity, because all that sugar, holy, like, I could not chew on the right side of my mouth until, like, now. Like, now it's fine.
I had a hangover for probably 3 days. Like, I kid you not.
Like, that's why I just don't fuck with sugary stuff. Because, like, yeah, Pink Whitney goes down so easily and it gets you drunk. But the next day, holy fuck, that hangover is something else. So, like, I'll have, like, two shots max. And then I'm like, no, like,
That's why we do the socialites and the White Claws.
No, exactly. Like, at least, like, if I drink, like, three or four White Claws, like, it'll get me drunk and I don't have a bad hangover from it. As long as I, like, I mean, I still need to drink water and, like, not be an idiot, but, like,
I mean, okay, sure.
But that being said, like, even with Greasy Gracie's, like, I actually never went to a club or a bar underage. Like, I never bothered to get a fake ID because it wasn't, because, like, I came from, like, the suburbs anyway, so there was barely any, like, clubs or bars in Durham region anyway. Like, there was mostly just, like, restaurants where you'd go and have a drink or whatever. And there's, like, a few bars, like, in downtown Whitby or, like, in Oshawa and stuff, where, like, I would go when I was in college. But as far as, like, going out, it was more so house parties, especially just in Durham, and, like, going to, like, a house party or, like, just, like, the classic drinking in a field somewhere or whatever. But I don't think I actually went to a bar illegally before, other than New York. But, like, that was a whole different situation. But I never had a fake ID. I never bothered to get one. And then by the time people were pressuring me to, like, oh, you're 18, like, just go and get one, I was like, bro, like, I turned 19 in 3 months, like, what's the point?
But that's where I wish you kind of, like, grew up here, because Etobicoke had very much, like, there, we did go downtown, we did party and whatever, we also had park jams at the Park Spire house. Like, it was really weird. Each grade kind of claimed a park. Like, there was, like, okay, bear with me, there was, like, Sesh Park, which was what the grade under us claimed. And then there was St. George's, which was, like, our grade and, like, the grade above us. And then there's, like, Silver Creek. And, like, shout out if anyone knows the story about Silver Creek. It's definitely already been talked about, but we're not going to address that here. But, no, we did, like, park jams. But then we'd also do, like, house parties, too. And a lot of people were really, really big on prees. Like, there were a few set people in each grade who would always have prees or who would always have the parties. And every Friday and Saturday would be, like, oh, like, is Mia having the party tonight? Oh, is Lauren having the party tonight? Oh, is Connor having... Like, you know, it was very, very specific. And you knew what you were doing every weekend. And, like, if you're going out, you're going out. And everyone... By the time, like... There are kids 4 years younger than me. So ones who were in grade 9 when I was in grade 12. Like, they all had fake IDs by the time they left for grade 12.
That's wild.
Like,
yeah.
It was so fucked up. And it still is so fucked up. And a lot of these IDs work. Like, we had an LCBO right by school. People would pick up during their lunch break. Like... But then it gets you thinking, like, the workers there, okay, one of them has an older brother, and that's clearly where he got his ID from. Well, if they live around there, wouldn't they know that it's an older, like, you know what I mean? Like, because it's the same people who live in the same area who go to that school. So it's like, if four Nicole Fallses are going to the same LCBO, or the four same Roman Mazokas are going to that LCBO, you know, it's kind of like... Are they just letting it slide at that point?
I like how you name dropped, like, eight separate people in this. Like we know who these people are. But no, like, that's why even throwback to our fucking Tinder episode when I was talking about fake IDs and why I fucking hate them. Because, like, even when I walk into Gracie's the few times that I've been there, I refuse to talk to any men in that fucking bar because I know that they're probably, like, 17 years old and I'm not trying to catch a case. So, like, there have been multiple times where, like, dudes in Gracie's will walk up to me and, like, buy me a drink. And, like, of course I'll take the fucking free drink. But then I'm like, okay, peace out later. See you later. Because, like, I'm not going to make out with you or, like, even fucking, like, hold your hand or anything because you're probably 17 years old and still live at your mom's house. So, like, I'm not taking that risk. I mean, but if you're just, like, you know, using the fake ID to, like, get into a club or, like, buy alcohol, like, I think, as long as you're being safe, it's fine. But, like, if you take it to a bar and then you start hitting on someone who is clearly older than you and you're, you know, you're putting them in a position where they can catch a case and shit, I just think that that's pretty fucking problematic. Because I see a lot of girls doing it, too, where, like, they'll go to Gracie's or something and start talking to a guy who's clearly, like, 25 years old or something, which, I mean, why are you in Gracie's when you're 25? But you know what I mean? Like, if you see, like, a 17-year-old girl who's like, oh, my God, I'm going to go and talk to this older guy. And it's like, bro, now he's going to, like, be like, oh, but she said she was 18 and on her ID it says she's, like, 19 or whatever, you know what I mean? And then... you know, catch a case and be on rape charges.
I have to tell you the story of the guy at Gracie's that tried to get me to get into his car.
No.
I don't think I've ever told anyone that story.
Oh, God, okay.
I was at Gracie's and I was underage, obviously.
Classic.
And Lauren left me, obviously.
As you did to me the first time I went to Gracie's. I think it's tradition.
Anyways, she left me and I was outside and it was winter. And I was wearing heels and probably jeans or something. And this guy pulls up and he's like, oh, like, do you, like, how are you getting home? Like, what do you do? I was like, oh, no, I'm just waiting for a friend, whatever. I don't even remember what happened because I was really, really drunk. But he tried to convince me to get in his car and make out with him for $1,000. And he was
secure the bag. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Old and gross. And he showed me that he had, I'm pretty sure I did get in his car. I'm not going to lie. I didn't make out with him, but I think I got in his car.
Oh my God. Did they teach you nothing in school about
dating? No, I actually don't. I don't know what even happened, but I think I got, he tried to tell me there was like Grey Goose in the trunk. I'm pretty sure he actually pretended like he was a taxi. I don't remember the situation, but I was pretty much like, you need to like turn around, like I'm not fucking doing this right now. And I was so scared and it was literally like kidnapping me, but I never told anyone about it because I was kind of like, well, fuck, like it was probably my own fault.
I mean, you got into his fucking car like a dumbass, so I mean there is that, but like, I mean, no, that's still fucking problematic and like creepy, but I think that everyone has, like, a weird story like that where, like, weird dudes will try to take you home and shit. So, like, I think that, you know, especially if you are going to bars and clubs and stuff and you're underage, like, I think that, I mean, I think that the age is the age for that reason, too, because I think that there are a lot of, like, predatory people out there who will take advantage of you, regardless if you're 18 or if you're fucking 16 or if you're 25, it doesn't matter, so...
It's kind of like at the sod. There's no in between. It's really like old men listening to country music, or it's like a bunch of us gathered.
It depends on the night. It depends on the vibe too. Like sometimes it'll be like a Friday night and it's all like 19-year-old kids, and then sometimes it'll be like all like 40-year-old hockey dads or something. So I mean, I guess it depends on the crowd and the type of bar it is. Like I mean, at the very few bars that are in Whippy, it's usually like there's like the Friday nights and Saturday nights that are for like early 20-year-olds, but then sometimes there'll be like 40-year-old moms who are on their third divorce trying to like find a younger dude or something. And trying to be a MILF or whatever. So I think the bars, it just depends on the night and the vibe. And but I feel like older people still kind of go anyway, even if it is a younger vibe, to try to like be a DILF or be a MILF or whatever and pick up younger people, which I mean, if it's legal and consensual, then fuck, all the power to you. But
well, I feel like it's also just a different demographic. Like I know, like being down here at school and downtown and whatever, and like obviously in Etobicoke like I am, it's a very different environment than like if you were to say to go to Waterloo and like go to the Drink or Brixton or something like that. Like it's a very different crowd, and the more student oriented cities you go to, the more students there are and the like busier the clubs are and like the more fucked stuff that can happen. Like I know Frosh Weeks and orientations and hokos and stuff like that are usually pretty fucked up, and even St. Patrick's Days, like mind you, this one that just passed wasn't super crazy. It was me, two of my girlfriends, one of my guy friends, and we were at a bar just trying not to get COVID before the whole city shut down. But usually it's really, really fucked up, and like there are cops everywhere and it's way more monitored and people are thinking a lot more before they go out about where they're going to do, and there's more of a like a game plan, I guess you could say, you know?
I mean, with that being said too, I think that, I mean, especially Ryerson has this reputation of like Ryerson's not a party school, or Ryerson doesn't have HOKO or doesn't have orientation or whatever. But I think as far as like partying actually goes, maybe this is because I'm older and I'm not underage, so I can't go to bars and clubs and stuff, but I actually prefer school downtown just because there's so many options for what you can do, you know what I mean? Like you can go to a club, you can go to like a pub, you can go to a bar, you can go to a friend's condo, you can, you know, Uber over to a friend's house and do a house party. Like there's so many different options. But every time I've gone to like a different school to party, like I go to a bar and like I've gone to bars in like Ottawa, or I've gone to bars in like St. Catharines at Brock or whatever, and I look at the bars and I'm just fucking appalled because I'm like, this is what you people do for a night out? Like compared to my nights out in Toronto, which go into like 4 or 5 in the fucking morning and they're complete ragers, like great time. I mean, the bars are like, it depends on the bar where you go to in Toronto, but like all the bars are like, compared to bars in like fucking Ottawa or like St. Catharines or like Waterloo or wherever, like it's just completely different ballpark. So I mean, as far as
Catherine's bars suck.
Oh, they're fucking terrible. I mean, even Ottawa, like even I've been to a few bars in Ottawa, and even then I look around at the crowd too and I'm like, they're like so excited because this is like such a rager night for them, and I'm like, bro, like this bar is the size of my apartment, and like it's just wild to me that like that's their, I guess that's their standard of partying. I mean, like as far as HOKOs and orientation and, you know, St. Patty's, like definitely there's no comparison. Those schools have way better partying reputations, but I mean, I would prefer to at least be in Toronto where I have the option that I can, you know, I can just go down the street to a bar, I can go and Uber to a club that's 10 minutes away, I can go to my friend's condo and party there, or if I want to, like, get on a fucking Go Bus or whatever and go to Brock or Waterloo, Laurier, wherever, and go to their HOKO, I can. So I feel like we have more options here, even though it's not a party school.
I feel like, too, it's very much more, like, I feel like if you're in Waterloo, for example, I know a bunch of people are almost forced to go to, like, Phil's on Thursdays, go out Friday, mm-hmm. Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday or something, and, like, that'll also encourage you to spend more money and get really drunk and not focus on your studies. And, like, no, not everyone's a nerd like me, but, like, I kind of enjoy, like, I'm more so of that, like, go out one day of the weekend rather, or, like, two rather than, like, all of them. Like, if you're counting Thursday. I know the weekend is 2 days, but I just find that going to school here, at least we're offered, like, okay, we can stay home and do our studies and, like, whatever, and we're not pushed to go out. But we also have that option to go out, and we have, like, Love Child and Rebel and all those places downtown right at our, like, fingertips, I guess, if we really want to.
Yeah, exactly. There's more options. I mean, even when I went to Durham College, like, we had this one college bar that we went to every fucking Thursday. Shout out Shags. We love Shags. But it was the greasiest fucking bar because it's literally, like, it was the campus hockey arena, so where the UIT hockey team would play. Yeah. And, like, the Ryerson team would play there and, like, everything. It was their hockey arena. But also, like, kids would play hockey there, and, like, dads would play their, like, beer league hockey there, too. So then you get to Shags at, like, say, 9 o'clock. Bar opened at, like, 9:30, whatever. And people would start to get there, and they'd be playing, like, dance hall, and people would be drinking. And then in the corner, there's all these hockey dads eating their hot wings and fries, and you're trying to, like, grind on this guy at a club, and it was just such an awkward fucking bar. And, I mean, by, like, midnight, those dudes obviously cleared out. And then it was all university students. But I think they just, like, having that as your only college bar option, or, like, even, like, in Western, like, having, like, the one college bar everyone goes through, like, whatever, I think that that's just so fucking annoying, because at least here it can be like, oh, like, what's the vibe tonight? What are we feeling? Are we feeling a club? Are we feeling just a bar? Do you want to go and get, like, a beer and some fries? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we have so many different options downtown, which I prefer that, because I don't like doing the same thing every week anyway. Like, even if I only say, like, okay, like, I'm only gonna go out one day a week or whatever, and, like, Friday is my party night, and then, like, do work Saturday, Sunday, or whatever, I feel like at least if I'm going and doing the same fucking thing and going to the same bar every week with the same people, and it gets so repetitive, I feel like I'd want to kill myself because it's just the same shit every week.
I think you're really, really right about that. Like, I think there are some things that
I just think it's overrated. Like, I think that it gets so boring. to summarize, like, I just think it's overrated. Like, yeah, like, it's a party school, and, like, Waterloo's a party school, and Laurier's a party school, and whatever.
Shout out Waterloo.
But, like, I feel like if you're going to the same fucking bar with the same people every fucking week, it just gets so old.
Well, that's where you can do things to, like I was trying to say before you so rudely interrupted me, where you can kind of make it more fun. And, like, this is a very, I guess, like, this would be a very biased point to bring up, but, like, bottle service. I mean, like, some people are kind of like, what's the hype and, like, whatever, and only special occasions. But, like, I know a lot of people from where I'm from, shout out the same group of guy friends that I shout out every fucking week, but they literally spend all of their money on bottles. And last summer when clubs were open, it got to the point where, like, every Friday and Saturday, they would be dropping hundreds of dollars on bottles. And, like, sure, they might have gotten a couple discounts because some of them were, like, into promoting, like, I use that term very, very loosely. They weren't actually fucking
love promoters, a good promoter,
but like, they would drop hundreds of dollars on bottles every night, and I'm kind of like, for what? Like, number one, you'd save more money pre-drinking at home. Number two, I get it's an experience, but if you're that tired of going to the club to the point where, like, you need these bottles to entertain yourself, maybe stop fucking going.
Or
to
if
the
like,
same
yeah,
clubs.
You're paying for the bottle to, like, have a fucking booth or something. It's just like, what's the point? I mean, like, I'll do it every now and then if it's someone's birthday or, like, there's a reason to buy a bottle. And I also
wish we were doing this on Saturday, but we're not.
And I mean, I think that it also depends on the city because, like, I feel like a bottle at a bar in, like, Ottawa and a bottle at, like, Cabana are very differently priced. Like, I've dropped $400 on a bottle of Henny at Cabana once. Or
did,
like,
you regret it?
I mean, no, because I drank most of it, because I split it with
Henny, oh my god.
I know, but I split it with four friends, and I spent most of it. I think we spent it, I bought it for my ex's birthday a few years ago, and then I think that last year, my friend Sarah Vizzy and I, we split a bottle of Grey Goose just for shits and giggles. But, like, even that was, like, maybe, like, $250, because, like, we were just feeling it, and we're like, but we were at Cabana every week.
Bottles retail for, like, $50 in LCBO.
It's entirely just for the flex that you can post on your fucking Instagram story or Snapchat story. Like, look, I dropped $300 on a bottle of Grey Goose. Exactly. But I think that, that's what I mean, though. If you do it every once in a while, like, oh, it's someone's birthday, or you know what, like, oh, let's treat ourselves and buy ourselves a bottle once in the summer. Or like, just whatever.
Drug dealers buy you the bottle.
Well, I mean, that's the go-to anyway. You go to the drug dealer's cabana, and you just steal all of their fucking alcohol and food, and then you leave. Like, why not? Obviously. But I mean, every once in a while is fine. But if you're literally, unless you are a drug dealer where you can fucking afford to do it every week, I mean, I don't really understand the flex, because I mean, I'd rather just buy the bottle of Grey Goose for $50, chug it at my apartment, and then go to the bar drunk instead of spending $350 on a fucking bottle and sharing it with 15 people. Doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, so on that note, I have a question for you, and it's really, really important.
Oh god, okay, hit me.
Okay, so what is actually more fun in your opinion, Alex? The bar or the pre?
Okay, I think, short answer, the pre, but long answer, it depends on who's going out and who's at the pre. Because I've found that sometimes, like, because I live alone and I live downtown, like, I always host the pre for pretty much anything.
Her
I mean,
pre's are fantastic. If you're ever lucky enough to be invited to one of those, even though you're probably in the small majority of people, or you're just not good enough, her pre's are fantastic, so you don't know you're missing
out. But also because my apartment is, like, usually a 10-minute Uber away from every bar, any club in Toronto. Like, I'm a 10-minute Uber away from anywhere because of the location, so, like, that's all nice and whatever. He love my location, love my life. But
what is wrong with us?
But sometimes I've hosted a pre, and like sometimes, like, I don't know fucking how, but sometimes some broads will get invited to my apartment to drink, and like they're just the most annoying type of drinkers and alcoholics that they'll drink two fucking coolers and act like they're blackout and like on
or
the floor.
They're not even invited. They'll end up outside and be like, "Oh my god, can you come down and let me in?"
So, I mean, short answer.
What if you don't even see them drink the alcohol? What if they say, the Mickey has to be done by tonight, but you don't ever see it go in their mouth, and then suddenly the Mickey's done, and so, they get mad at you?
I mean, short answer, yes. I think the pre overall is almost always more fun than the actual bar, but it entirely depends on
the different bitches.
On A, who's at the pre, and B, who's going to the bar. Because if you're going to the bar and you know that, like, a cute dude texts you or, like, snaps you, and he's like, oh, going to, like, Love Child tonight, and you know you're going there too, and you're like, oh, fuck, so now I'm gonna run into so-and-so at the bar. And, like, you kind of look forward to that and kind of know you're gonna go home with him or something. So there's that. But I think at the same time, the pre is probably more fun because, like, everyone, you know, shows up, and, like, you take a few selfies and shit, you take a bunch of shots, and you get drunk, and you're also not spending $15 per shot or whatever, so you know what I mean? So I think that that's more fun. But I think if somehow this random broad, like, shows up at your apartment, or, like, a dude who, like, is a friend of a friend who comes to your apartment, like, oh, can I bring my roommate, and, like, shit like that, then, I mean, that can kind of be a downer depending on who it is. But I think that overall I've probably had more fun experiences at pre's, especially when you don't even make it out to the bar and you just end up getting so drunk at the pre that you just stay at your apartment or your house.
Yeah, they're definitely different types of drunk. I mean, when I was either in high school or just talking about the first few years of university, my friends have this really bad habit of always liking to be late to everything. Like, I distinctly remember on my friend Larissa's birthday, we were standing around her kitchen island in Etobicoke. We had to be at a club downtown Toronto, and it was like 11:50, and we were all debating on if we should leave yet. So, I mean, like, they're different kinds of drunk. They're the drunks where there's, like, the people who always fall asleep at the pre or, like, don't make it out. They're the people who don't ever want to leave the pre. They're the annoying fucking girls who pull trig after having one shot that you don't even see them take. They're the flirty girls and guys. They're the, like, there's just so
many. Oh, the ones who sit and text their ex-boyfriend or their ex-girlfriend the entire time at the pre.
Oh my god, I miss you so much.
It's like, bro, you're like half a White Claw in, relax. Like, you shouldn't even be texting your ex yet. That's like a 2 in the morning thing,
bro,
not
like,
a 9 p.m. thing.
Put down your phone. Like, it's not happening here. And I'm very much an advocate for, like, okay, like, we're not getting anxious at this pre. We're not fighting anyone at this pre. Good vibes only at this pre. You know, we're like those types of people, especially when you have a pre here, because I treat this place like my house too. I'm like, you fill the Brit up, you clean the toilet. Like, shout out Sabu puts hand soap in the toilet. But no, like, it definitely depends who you invite. And you have to be really particular about who you invite, because I don't know if you're going to get when I say this, but there are certain people you invite to the pre, and there are certain people that you decide you're going to meet them at the bar, if that makes
sense. No, 100%, 100%. I have, like, certain friends that, you know, like, even, I mean, pre-COVID, but even now, like, when I have people post or during COVID now, like, when I have people over that are in our social bubble and stuff, because we're very, like, particular about who we see and who we drink with and stuff, like, I'm not going to just invite 20 of my random friends over to my apartment anymore, but like the people that I have over to my apartment, especially now, are very specifically curated people that I know A, are safe and don't have COVID, or B, have gotten tested and, you know, socially distanced, whatever, all that shit. But like also they have to be people that I fuck with, because I don't like having people over my at my apartment and risk them, you know, spilling wine on my fucking bed, or like spilling wine on my couch or stuff, or like breaking glasses, or like fucking leaving garbage everywhere. Like at least like I know when I invite these friends over to my apartment, they put away their empties in the garbage, you know, they wipe up anything that they fucking spill. Like I appreciate that shit, because I don't like my space to be dirty, and I also hate having to clean up everything in the morning after, because I think that's such a fucking drag. So at least like you guys, when we wake up in the morning after, like even no matter how hungover we are, like you guys still like, you know, Sab will fucking clean the toilet and put dish soap in the fucking toilet, or you know, clean up all the empties and shit, buy me Starbucks. Like that shit goes a long way. But there are definitely some people that like, you know, you don't even tell them you're having a pre, and you just kind of, you know, block them from viewing your story of the pre and stuff like that, and then you just kind of say,
show up.
Oh hey, I'll meet you at the bar at like 10:30 or something. Oh. And or they just show up randomly without being fucking inviting, and that's a whole other thing. But yeah, no, I think the pre's definitely, it also depends on where you're going to, because you know, there are sometimes, because like I also have very different party group type of friends. Like I have like party groups like you and I, where we go to a bar, but then I have like party groups with like me, Vizzy, and Sarah, where we go to like an after hours at 6 a.m. so like, and we like rave until dawn. So I mean, I think I have very different party vibes. Like Vizzy and I will go to fucking Vertigo across the street until like 7 a.m. Shout out me and Vizzy and our degenerate nights. But I think that like pre's like that, I think that it's kind of like preparing your body for going partying that long. And then there's other pre's where it's like, hey, you're just going to like Gracie's or like Rockin' Horse, or like
especially the hangovers that you can get from like. Like, there have been times where I've been laying in your bed and I'm like, holy fuck, I don't even think I can move right now.
Yeah.
And, like, we're both annoyed and we're grumpy and, like, those kind of, like, okay, obviously you can't control your hangover really the night before. Like, there are obviously the old wives' tales about, like, the clearer the alcohol, the better it is. And, like,
yeah, no, I don't
beer
believe
before
in
liquor,
that.
You'll never get sick.
Oh, I don't believe in that either. That's complete bullshit.
But, like, and drinking lots of water, like, it helps. But even, like, bread and shit like that, those are all myths. Like, I've learned that along the way. Bread is a myth. Like, water only really helps if you're drinking it throughout the night. Like, you can't just chug a glass before you go to bed. You're not going to be fine then. Like, it's just, obviously, it's all completely different. And, like, I mean, I feel like that's the only good thing that's kind of come out of COVID, is, like, not feeling pressured to go out all the time and not having to wake up with all those hangovers. Because even if we are partying, it's, like, usually, like, a smaller group and it's, like, safer and whatever. But when you get those kind of hangovers, you know that that day is, like, off limits. Like, you're not doing anything for the rest of the day. You're going to go home and sleep because you feel so disoriented and, like, nasty. And I guess that's one of the things that I, like, don't really miss, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah, no, and even, like, regardless, I know that, like, people say, like, once you hit 30, like, your hangovers are fucking unbearable. But, like, honest to God, I think my hangovers have always been that way, where it's, like, a full 12 to 24 hours, like, I'm out of commission. I don't know why. Even, like, when I was, like, 17, if I was hungover, like, it'd be a full fucking day production of me, like, lying in bed, getting McDonald's breakfast, like, not fucking moving, watching Netflix all day. And, like, I hate the unproductivity of, like, not being able to do anything for the fucking day, because, like, if you move, you're gonna vomit, or, like...
And you and I are go-getters, too, so, like, just sitting for a day is not gonna do it for us.
Yeah, no, like, I'll wake up at, like, 10 in the morning and, like, order breakfast or, like, whatever, and I kid you not, by, like, 10:30 at night, 12 hours later, like, I still feel like death. I have to, like, sleep it off for a whole new night, and then, like, the following day, I feel normal again. But, like, they last a long fucking time, so I think that... I mean, yeah, definitely, I guess it depends on what you do drink, like... Like we said earlier, like, if I drink, like, Pink Whitney or something that's fucking sugary and makes me want to kill myself the next day, then I tend to avoid that. But at the same time, I'm super guilty of just, like, not really eating before going out, so the alcohol hits you faster and you get drunk easier. So, I mean, I guess you gotta pick your battles with that. But, yeah, I don't really believe in the whole, like, eating bread or, like, drinking. Or, like, it's for, like, every shot that you take, you have to drink a glass of water. Like, I think that's fucking stupid, and it takes you way longer to get drunk that way. So, like, that's stupid, too.
See, I think, like, my anxiety kind of stops me before I get completely blackout, because, like, even in the 8 years I've known Lauren, I even told her the other night when I was at her house, I was, like, to, like, my friend Lauren, for those of you who don't fucking know already, I was, like, I've never thrown up in this toilet. Like, I've never thrown up at your house ever, ever, ever. And she's one of those people who always pulls trick. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. She just feels better afterwards.
No, I'm the same way.
But my whole thing is, like, I think my anxiety, like, stops myself. And yes, I can say it because I clinically have anxiety to all you fucking haters out there. I think I stop myself before I get too blackout. Like, you know that last drink before you know, like, it's, like, the turning point, like, the pivotal, like, if you drink any more, you're fucked.
You're gonna
like,
yak,
you can't come back from
it. Yeah, yeah.
I think I always stop myself before that point. So There's only been a few times where I've ever yakked. Like, once was commencement, and it was off of peach Ciroc, and, like, I had to go to Thanksgiving the next day. My family, like, teased me the entire time, because our commencement was in October for whatever fucking reason. I had one event at Yuki Fest. Shout out to all you Torontonians who know what Yuki is. And we all got wasted, and then my cousin had my phone, and I like, there have been those times, and everyone's allowed to have those times, but, like, my whole point is I don't really let myself get to that. And, like, maybe after this episode comes out, I will have on Thursday night. I might have died. But we won't know because we're recording this way before then so that we don't have to deal with that. But I just, it's just, every night is a new night and a different night with partying. And, I mean, same goes for kind of being high, you know? Like, I know we didn't really talk about this at the beginning, but, like, what... Have you ever been high? Like, what's your...
I mean, given our preface at the beginning of the episode of not wanting to talk about anything illegal...
I'm so sorry, Mom.
I will only discuss weed highs, because... shout out Justin Trudeau, because weed's illegal. Love
what
him.
What did you think I meant?
High on life, baby. But, I've never really been really big into smoking weed. I actually prefer doing edibles.
Weed every day.
I actually prefer edibles or like gummies, just because I don't particularly like smoking in general. I mean, and I also find that if I'm at a party especially and I smoke weed, then I just find that it makes me very tired and like kind of more antisocial than I would like to be. So if it's the end of the night and I'm trying to go to bed, then like I won't be opposed to it. But I feel like just smoking weed in the middle of a party or like before you go to a bar, it just makes me feel so tired and like I just want to like lie in bed or like lie on the couch and like eat a fucking bag of Doritos. So I don't really see the point for partying. So it's never really been my thing, but, like, if I really want to get fucked up on an edible or something, then, like, every now and again I'll dabble, but I've never really been big into the marijuana.
Yeah, I've definitely greened out a couple times in high school at parties, but, I mean, I'm not, once again, my anxiety heightens, and I'm not the type of person who can get, like, fried, as they call it. Like, I can't really do that. Like, I know my first time getting high was in a forest, which was a really bad idea, because everywhere I turn, the trees look the same. And we couldn't get out of the forest.
Oh, God.
And I don't know.
No, I mean, I know there's different, like, types of weed, too, like sativa and indica, and they're all different. But, like, I just find that, like,
sativa pre-rolls are where it's at.
But just in general,
I'm
think
a child
that...
of God, Mom, I swear.
I just think in general, like, I don't think it's a partying vibe for me, personally. But, I mean, like, if you do, like, CBD oil and stuff like that for, like, anxiety and stuff, it's super helpful and, like, whatever. So, like, I think that shit's great. But, like... I think that overall, like, I've never really, really been big into smoking weed, especially at parties, because it makes me less social. And, like, I already kind of use alcohol to make myself more social and more fun. So, like, I feel like weed just kind of draws back on that, and it's just kind of counterproductive to what I want.
Yeah, I think we both like drinking a lot more, and safe to say that we've had a lot more experience with drinking. And, I mean, I hope the experiences have kind of showed you guys that you're not alone, and you probably weren't the only person who's ever snuck alcohol from your brothers or sisters or... thrown up at a club or a party or tried to sneak your way into a club and got denied or something like that. Like, really hope you realize we're just two normal peas too, and we've gone through the same shit that you have.
But these two peas love a good drink every now and then, because as we mentioned last week, we are pretty stressed out all the time, so love a good drink here and there.
Cry
and
a lot. If we're not drinking Red Bull, we're drinking White Claws, and there's no in between.
Or we'll have one of each in each hand and just
double
alternate
fisting?
Of course, yeah, but we alternate like White Claw and then Red Bull. And
send us a picture of you double fisting, and maybe I'll give you $10 or promised you in the first episode.
Or tag White Claw Canada in our post to get a sponsor, because that would be good too.
Our three Instagram posts.
But anyway, that's all the time we have for the week. Thank you guys for listening. We had a lovely time talking about our degenerate attitudes and drinking and whatnot. And
like you always hear from us every week.
Of course.
No surprise.
And we will be back again next Friday with a new episode. And make sure that you wish Madison a very happy 21st birthday on October 31st.
Oh my God, I'm joining the 20 Fun Club.
Oh my God, champagne birthday. And don't forget, because it's on fucking Halloween. So if I can't forget it, then neither can you.
Yeah, I'm excited to be legal drinking age in the states that I cannot go to right now, but I mean,
in the future it'll be handy. So anyway, thank you guys for listening.
As always, much love.
Much love, XOXO, and we will see you guys here next Friday.
If we don't die.
Bye for now.